All right, I understand now. I take your advice. But before, if I get to the OCM news, there's two more things I would like to talk, but I might not get it until after the OCM news. Yesterday, now, I heard that the union leader, what's her name, the lady?
And finally, I feel passionate about this. Finally, in countries that require the buildup of international reserves, and can benefit from a program like that, they should not be deterred because of any commentary from any international agency.
I understand. I listen to you. You know, you and Mr. Jensen are really appreciate. Sometimes I get a little bit at it, but I really like to listen to Mr. Jensen, and I'm trying now to listen to you. Thank you for that correction, okay? Now, the union lady talk about consultation, about laying off people, which I am so sorry that people have to go home. But when the first set of people that was laid off by the DLP was 3,500, the gentleman talk about it, he was wrong there, is 3,500. And there was no consultation. All I could see was they're going for a cup of tea to meet the prime minister, and they come out 12:30 talking to the camera people that they're making progress. There was no progress made. No one ever get by their job. Huh? They laid off the people from the beautiful Barbados, the one that do the road, beautiful Barbados, and give it to that gentleman to do it. They were paying him. But the workers was getting, lose their job, and months before they get any pay. Now, these workers, which again I am sorry for, are going home. Yes, people have to go home in every part of the world. Right now, in the UK, people are getting laid off, but they're not getting laid off, they're not working. What they do, they assign them at home to work from home.
I'm going to thank you for your contribution so much. You raised a number of issues. We will be going to the regional roundup and ask you to rejoin us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. I had a WhatsApp I wanted to read first. It says, good morning. I would like to ask this to be read. We just lost an iPhone. It was stolen in the Maxwell area by a male who seems to be a junkie. He picked up two bags from a work site and ran into some bushes. The bags were found in the bushes, and the cash on the phone, they are gone. Anyone, please share some information with the Oyston Police Station at 236 or 236-8433. They said a reward will be offered. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Ms. Gale, sorry, I have to hold on because my other 2 points I did not make. No, I see Canada is buying ganja from Jamaica and another island. I forget which island it was. I think it's either Trinidad or another one. I could be wrong on that. Why can't Barbados try and make an arrangement with Canada to see if they start growing ganja, Canada buy it? I don't know if it's the soil, because the soil of Jamaica is a different soil from over here, and the other, I forget the name of the other island, is more refined, while Barbados soil is thick because of the coral foundation. Yeah, Barbados can grow cane because Jamaica not making no money now from cane. Barbados not going to make no money from cane, really. Just the cane they grow could supply Barbados for the sugar. So why couldn't they try and see if they could make, because they would make millions a year, because ganja bring in plenty money, because they won't buy it from, Britain will not buy it from the West Indies. The reason why, Britain have 4 football fields underground that are growing different grade of ganja. So they won't buy it from the West Indies because they are growing it themselves. So what do you think of that idea?
I haven't given it much thought. Actually, only yesterday I saw that Canada had confirmed its sale of ganja at personal levels. It was a small figure. I don't want to quote a number. It was.
It's legal in a way.
It's made it legal, like yes. But
Jamaica, have it legal that
and persons
a certain
were
amount.
Celebrating that big feat. It is indeed a big feat for them to make it legal for the purchase for personal and medicinal uses. Very interesting, I thought. Very progressive as
I think
as
it
a country
should be legal
as well.
All over. It should be legal because instead of people then selling ganja and putting different things in it to make up the ganja.
It reduces the number of persons
yes.
who would be heading to the law courts for small figures
because,
and taking taking a load off of the police force and the
yes.
court system. And it has its positive implications, and I'm sure it also has its negative implications because in that same news clip, they also talked about persons using ganja and the impact it can have on young minds, particularly if not used in the right way, and especially if it is used in much larger quantities than the brain would allow for that usage.
If they mixed it, if you just smoke the pure ganja, it don't do you nothing. If you put it with aspirin,
different people respond to chemicals of all forms. I don't know. Some people argue that ganja is not a chemical, but different people respond to herbs differently. So while you may not have the same challenge that another person may have, we must also take into consideration that our makeup is a little different. Different people have different things. Sugar affects different people differently. Let's use something as simple as sugar. While another person may not assimilate sugar the same way. So we must be cognizant of other people's body makeup, et cetera, and their response action to some of these herbs and drugs and chemicals and different things that we put in our bodies.
Finally, the last thing, I would like the drainage people that are the people who are going to dig the well or clear the well. I think they should have a meeting with everyone that affected in the area. Like, call a meeting and let us know what is going on, because we are everyone that live in those kind of area are trembling during the winter season, right? The rainy season. So I think they should, you know, we don't know what they're doing. If you call, you're not getting no real answer. We are trying. We're going to work on it, but working on it and don't let us know what you're doing or how far you're going on it. It really, you know, giving us a tremor, because when it rains and it rains bad, you know, we are, you know, each of us that suffer from overflow well know the feeling. Okay, thank you very much, okay?
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gill.
Good afternoon, sir.
A few questions for Vinny, though. I got a surprise here and let her know that we already grow ganja here in Barbados. Albeit illegal, is the first thing.
I think she's aware of that.
The next thing, I don't agree with.
Sorry?
I don't agree with the plant being legalized. I think it's more about educating people about the dangers of abuse, not only of ganja, alcohol, other substances. Some questions, the main points. Know that the magnet who was responsible for transport as well as oil has found a lake up in Canada. Some questions have to be asked of the persons who are behind the BTC, because for the last 15 plus years they've been batting about that they have property in St. Philip for the development of the future of horse racing in Barbados. As you know, the Garrison Savannah, yes, it's a historical site, but there are some constraints to having things such as night racing, to expansion of the track, another thing. And in a scenario where we need as much cash as we can get from outside investors, we need persons from the BTC to conclusively come forward and state where the plans are at this stage in terms of implementing night racing in Barbados. What are the plans they have for the near terminally ill sport on this island? And
what are the, sorry, I didn't hear the second question.
What are the plans for the near terminally ill sport? Because horse racing in Barbados practically is deceased. To the point where the flagship race, which is the Sandy Lane Goa Cup has seen a drop in numbers in consecutive years for a good while, and nobody seems to be coming to the fore, letting the public of this island know what are the plans going forward, what is the status of the turf club and its finances, and other things behind it. Coming out of all of this, we've seen tremendous success being had by a lot of guys who've come from malign communities, who have played in their trades in the North American circuit, and it is something that the whole of Barbados cannot continue to ignore, because it creates jobs, obviously, for grooms, for jockeys, trainers, etc. And we just need some more talk from the people who are behind the BTC as to where their hearts really are. You enjoy your lunch, then.
Thank you so much. Interesting thoughts there. Angela Robinson lost her purse on Tuesday night between the gas station at Redmond Village and a Route 3 ZR to town between 7:30 and 8 p.m. She's asking anyone with information to contact her at 549-5059 or 237-6286. Her name is Angela Robinson. Thanks very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm a young person in this island. I only work one day a week. I am also paying bills with this one day a week. At the moment, I'm trying to contact the welfare department to find out what assistance they could be granted there, because it's hard, right? But at the moment, I'm calling that office, and from this morning, 9 o'clock, when I've been calling, it's been busy. Could you tell me why a government office would be busy from 9 o'clock to about after 12 o'clock?
You are sure that you have the correct numbers for the welfare department?
Yes, I am sure.
Okay. And I can't tell you why a number will be busy. It is possible that the line may be off the hook, and therefore someone is not even aware that the, you know, it would render busy tone to you who is the caller, and it would of course not be, the person who is in the space would not even be aware that it is up. So that's possible. Or the line, I don't know if the step-in system is working. They are very well, they'll be just on the job all day and been taking calls, etc. So it is possible that that could be the challenge.
Is there any other places in Barbados where young people could have assistance?
Well, in my space, just assistance to facilitate payment of bills, or you're thinking like the Youth Entrepreneurship Scheme, Barbados Youth Business Trust,
YBT. To help you.
Yeah, there are a number of places I interact. Then the Vocational Training Board as well, that does then skills training. There are a number of places which allow said young people to come, learn a trade, get a better understanding so that they can sustain themselves if they are unable to find a job.
Yeah, to be able to pay their bills. Finding a job for young people is very hard. Paying bills with just one day a week is very hard, and also to provide food and toiletries. So right now I'm at wit's end at what to do, because it's that hard. It is that hard, and I'm also a person that is liable to pay rent. I don't live with a family. At the moment, I don't have any security to say, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, someone is saying that the number has changed. But they did not provide a new number.
All right. I thank you very much.
Sorry about that, madam. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. It's actually 25 minutes after 12, so it is good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello?
Hi, hello, sir.
Yeah, I was calling to report that the telephone wire was drooping. I reported to the company on Tuesday, but I haven't been, and it's the crossing part of my entrance. It's in Worthing.
Yes, you were able to visit the actual right next to the
pole. It's where I live. It's where I live.
You have the pole number, if possible?
My pole number, yes.
No, the pole number.
The pole?
You don't
know? No, I don't. All I can say is that it's about...
Give me your address.
Four Properties Pass, Republic Bank in Worthing Main Road.
Okay, so that's four properties after the Republic Bank.
Yes, it's your first two-story. You pass Republic Bank heading east,
mm-hmm.
and as I said, it's drooping across, and I reported to the telephone company on Tuesday, but I haven't seen or heard anybody.
And this is just the wire that is drooping and not the actual pole?
Yeah, the wire is drooping. It hasn't completely fallen down. It's not broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's drooped right across my entrance.
Oh, it's down. Is it impairing your ability to come through?
Pardon me?
Is it impairing your ability to come to pass in and out, or just far away from?
If it's a low vehicle, you can get through.
Oh, if it is
like a larger vehicle, can. My daughter has a blower. She has to pass across the road.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so we will hope that the Barbados Light and Power hears this discussion and that they can attend to the property, four properties away from the Republic Bank Main Road. From the Republic Bank in Worthing on the main road heading east. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We will be going to the latest, lunchtime latest on VOB, Voice of Barbados. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Just before we went to the latest, there was a query on the number for the welfare department. I'm being told it is 535100. And if anyone wants to find a number for a government agency, they can call the Ministry of Civil Service, 535-4400. Just to say it again, the welfare is 535-100. And one of my colleagues from Canada, who will remain nameless, he shared that the scenario with the cannabis, which we were talking about just a little while ago, is that the recreational use of cannabis became legal in Canada yesterday. Medicinal use has been legal for over a decade, and people are now allowed to carry 30 grams of marijuana on them in public, and they can grow up to four pot plants in their homes. However, smoking in public places such as playgrounds, sports fields, and those places, that is still prohibited. And it is important to note, he adds, that this new regime will be well regulated, where driving under the influence is still an offense, minors prohibited, because the research has shown that there are some mal-effects on the brains of adolescents and children, and this includes psychological effects on those that may be more susceptible to genetically mental health challenges or susceptible genetically to mental health challenges. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a call on the line. Good afternoon. We're going until 1:30 p.m. today. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yes. I just wanted to give information that might be useful to the young lady who says she works one day a week.
Yes.
Right. I see here in the Nation newspaper of Tuesday, October 16th, that's this week,
mm-hmm.
An ad for general workers, sales clerks, cashiers, and maids, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the number is 549-1125. It is in the Nation Classifieds of Tuesday, October 16th.
Yes.
And the number is 549-1125, in case that young lady wants to check it out.
That's very useful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
549-1125. And
yes,
the earlier number I gave was 535-1000.
Yes.
Which is 1,000 for the welfare department. But as you said, if someone wants to be gainfully employed, they can make a call to 549-1125. If
that's
there are
right.
Any opportunities.
Yes.
Thanks so much. I have a letter here that I wish to read. It was hand-delivered to the Voice of Barbados team, and it says, to whom it may concern. And it's a pretty long letter, but I think I'll read it. It says, why do you have to send home 1,500 people when there are other measures that could be used without sending home poor and underprivileged people? I have 5 recommendations that I hope government would consider and accept. Number one, what purpose does that Senate serve? Every senator has another income. They're doctors, lawyers, and trade unionists that may make up Senate and has a personal income. Therefore, discontinue their salary. If they care so much about Barbados and people, poor people, it means they can make that sacrifice. Number two, if there are ministers and other top-level public servants that receive perks as part of their salary, discontinue the perks and keep the poor people employed. Number three, there are people who drive government vehicles every day and are still receiving traveling allowances in their salaries. Discontinue that allowance and keep poor people employed. Number four, every month government pays thousands of dollars for cell phones and the cell phone bills are being paid. Work used to be done without government cell phones. It's not necessary. Therefore, discontinue that bill and keep poor people employed. Number five, there are people who sit on 3 and 4 boards and are paid for that. If they care so much, they can give up that salary and keep poor people employed. I don't understand why every time we reach a stage of turning to the IMF, the poor people are the ones who have to go home. That means they don't have a salary to look forward to when the week or the month comes. I'm willing to bet that if these 5 recommendations be accepted, there will be more monies available to pay 2,000 salaries, furthermore, 1,500. I believe the Prime Minister is a sensitive, caring, and compassionate person and will take these recommendations to heart. Signed, a concerned civil servant. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. I was going to go down that same line, right? But I'm still going to go. If you have, you're going to say that you have a caring government. This is my first step. The Prime Minister can take a 20 to 30% cut in her salary. The ministers can take a 15 to 20% cut in their salary. Other senior government other government staff could take an 8 to 10% cut. Don't tell me it is law. They have the majority. They can change the law. Again, a minister gets about $16,000 a month. You're going to send home government workers. They're not going to get zero salary. But still, they're getting allowances, traveling allowances and all that stuff. If you're caring, top the allowances. I want to see if anybody is thinking like me, right? You have senior government persons who are driving motor cars owned by government. If you're going to say that they're going to drive this, stop buying all these SUVs and in Mercedes Benz to give persons. Let the senior staff member drive their own car. They have high salaries too. We are saying that we want everybody to be on board. But then again, that poor person might only be the breadwinner in their family. Don't tell me that it cannot be done. Because if you want me to get on board, show me that you are the caring government. Right? These are difficult times. Again, with that now, you start the car, the gas bill, the diesel bill will come down. Again, I agree with the person. You got senators and they have good jobs. If these are precarious times, abandon your salary. Let it go back to a time where that when the economy recovers, that you can get back that salary. Not to retrench workers. There are ways. We can sit down and we can talk to the staff associations. We can talk with trade unions. We can talk to all these persons to help in this fight. And I am sure if these measures are carried out, ma'am, we can save jobs and we can save this economy. Do you agree?
I have my thoughts on the whole restructure program, and I don't see it in isolation on the current job loss. there is a four-pronged element to the BERT program, and at the end of it, the intention is that the system is more efficient. So looking at it from efficiency gains, I believe that job losses are inevitable. So while it can appear as though someone is being heartless by sending home someone, if I were running a business and I had three employees and my revenues had fallen and I needed to, using the government's language, become fit for purpose and one employee had to go, I would have to do that as the employer. And and while looking on, the employee who loses a job, you may give them something to hold on to for that time period. You also create opportunities so that that employee can either work with one of your associate consultants or something like that, so as to reduce the pain to some extent.
All right. Let me quietly disagree with you, ma'am.
That's all right.
A minister getting $16,000 when the month comes, he or she is going to get entertainment allowance. They're going to get traveling allowance. Is that caring, ma'am?
The salary of $16,000?
I've got a salary of $16,000 a month.
And you think it's uncaring?
And you give a minister traveling allowance. You give he or she traveling allowance. They give the entertainment allowance.
I dare submit that a minister and a public servant are two different sets of people.
Right, ma'am. But still, ma'am, if a person is getting $16,000 a month and they are getting traveling allowance along with entertainment allowance, and you can tell me that you want all of us to get on board, right? And you take a 15 to 20% loss cut in your salary, ma'am, I don't see nowhere that you are losing. If you're telling me a person that is getting $1,500 a month and they take a 20% loss, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a cut in their salary, mm-hmm. or say you take away $500 from them. Although it might be significant, you still have money coming in at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. Ma'am, I am telling you, to send persons out there on the breadline, right? To send persons out there on the breadline, when we have other measures that we can put in place, and I am sure, ma'am, we are talking nowadays that we are educated, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are educated. We have a university. We have whatever. Listen to the people. All I'm begging the government to do, right, is to look at these measures and help. If you can show me that you can implement these measures, if you can show me the economics of what I just explained to you, right? And someone could come and tell me, don't talk to me, show me on paper. Let's do a 20 to 30% in the prime minister's salary and bring it back annually and tell me how much money you save.
Actually, I had a discussion yesterday, and the person actually posited that ministers' salaries are too small. Number one, the workload of the minister, and then number two, ministers also pay several utility bills and provide assistance for several of its constituents.
Economic times, ma'am. These are not normal times.
We are in hard economic times, for which several of the ministers have to put even more into the constituencies for which they serve, because people are going to feel a little bit more hardship.